And now, Jalen and Jacoby.
He is Durag Jalen Rose. What up, though? I'm David Jacoby. And on the cool check-in. Center stage on the mic. And we put it on wax. We're Jalen Jacoby. What is it that we do? We give the people what they want. The Australian Open is happening half the way around the world, which means there's no Jalen Jacoby on television. But just because there's no Jalen Jacoby on television does not mean we're not going to come in on our day off to give our podcast listeners a dope pod to step to. It's just how committed we are to the program. We don't want to disappear for 2 weeks.
And, no, we wouldn't do such a thing. And, you know, I like to humanize what we do for the people, because so many times when you see public figures and former and current athletes and entertainers and professionals like David Jacoby that's been working multimedia and building podcasts and television shows and producing and doing all that for 20 years, sometimes it's easy to take the journey for granted. And I just have to say, on a Monday and Tuesday, it worked out perfect for me personally that the Australian Open was on and we were dark.
Great.
You want me to tell you why?
Yes.
It has nothing to do with not wanting to work, because I take pride in being the hardest working man in the industry. It has everything to do with the third world country I had growing on my right cheek the last few days. I'm so fortunate I didn't have to do television the last couple of days. I'm so happy.
You got someone moving in? You got a roommate?
No, I got a meteor. A planet.
I got one on my forehead.
You're right.
I
was thinking it about, might be.
Even though we ain't on TV, I was thinking about going to make get makeup today anyway. So there is so much to discuss on the show today, right? We got the two football games from Sunday night. It's a little stale, so we're going to start with the latest from the National Basketball Association. The Lakers and the Celtics game. I was hyped for it. I told my wife, I said, you're putting Quincy to bed. I'm going to watch the Lakers and Celtics. Don't worry about it. You know, she's like, you got it. So I sat down. I locked in. We had a great first quarter. And then right around the second quarter, got away from the Lakers. And I was like, they're going to make a run. They got LeBron James and Anthony Davis. That run never happened. Never happened. Next thing you know, LeBron's getting dunked on. Next thing you know, it's turned 10, turned to 20. 20 turned to 25. And I turned off and went to sleep before it was even over.
I've said the last few years, when you watch the Boston Celtics play basketball, and this is even when they had Al Horford, Isaiah Thomas, and Kyrie Irving, a lot of times when you look at the body type and or the personality of a player, you underestimate certain skills that they have. And so when you see Marcus Smart, you see a physically tough player that's going to get blocks, take charges, that's going to be a beast defensively. But I like to look deeper into the box score, and two of the things that impressed me about him, I just saw him make 10 three-point shots recently in a basketball game.
11 threes.
11, correct. And the other thing is, he's the best passer they've had on their team in years. I remember saying this a couple of years ago, and people were like, seriously? You saw that behind-the-back pass with the left to Cantor?
Yes, yes.
For the layup?
Yes.
Perfect example of what I'm talking about. And, again, when you look at him, his body type, his physicality, and how he plays, you underestimate that he actually has what I consider soft hands. And I don't mean, like, he got a soft touch on runners and floaters. I mean that I felt that he would be a guy that could make jump shots because he was a good passer. And I also feel like that skill is something that the Celtics are going to need to rely on more if they're going to advance to the Eastern Conference playoffs, the Eastern Conference
Absolutely.
Finals.
And, like, one person I love on that team so much, Jaylen Brown. You know, because he had high expectations coming into the league. In his first couple years in the league, he didn't necessarily live up to them. But this year, Jaylen Brown has just been so efficient, so consistent, so good. I'm just loving what I see from Jaylen Brown this year. And he's, you know, I think sometimes that we will put a label or a reputation on a player before they can even drink at a bar. You know what I mean? I kind of feel like that happens to a lot of players nowadays. And you look at Jaylen Brown, he's like, what, at 23, I want to say, in his fourth year in the league, and he's now coming into his own at 23 years old, when a lot of people came into the league at 23 years old back in your day.
You know what I appreciate? You talked about being 23 and in my day. At that time, early in the league, just a couple of seasons removed from playing basketball at the University of Michigan, during those years, a lot of people were naming their kids Jaylen. And I appreciate that the name has grown to the point where I'm old enough and young enough to appreciate when a player named Jaylen does something, that it just second nature about the name. When I'm watching Anthony Simons play, usually they're going to reference where he got his name from. Now, it's so many Jaylens, especially in sports, it has become second nature.
Oh, yeah.
And I love that. I met him initially at Sway in the Morning. Shout to the homie from the Bay. And Shade 45. On draft day, the year he got picked. And at the time, he was projected to go around top 10. Ish. And I told him what I've told few players, and you know, Jacoby, I don't even want to start naming guys, so I'm gonna leave somebody off. But when we were doing our job interviews with the Podfather, mm-hmm. yep. and interviews that you and I have done with collegiate players, so many times I look at a guy, Victor Oladipo, CJ McCollum, Zion Williamson comes to mind, and I said this to Jaylen Brown: you'll be successful without basketball. And when I say that, that has nothing to do with points, rebounds, and assists. I just sense an intelligent individual that has survival tactics. And I told him, you're going higher than you think. He looked at me like, seriously? I'm like, trust me. So get ready. Be crisp. Don't wear a red and white pinstripe suit with red Maury Gaiters. You're going early than you think. And for that draft and him to go number 3 overall, it was a shock to so many people. For the Celtics to continue to attain assets and not cash in those picks and players that they accumulated over the past few years into an all-NBA type of performer, I also mentioned I felt Danny Ainge was overplaying his hand. And as some of the pieces came off the board, people sleep. The Celtics had a chance to get Kawhi Leonard. The Raptors yeah. snatched him up and won a championship
and Anthony
in one
Davis.
Season.
Anthony Davis, too, I felt like. Kevin Love, I felt like.
Correct. And that's where I was going as I saw him playing in the other uniform last night. It reminded me of when his father even came out after the fact and was like, well, he don't want to play in Boston anyway. And so that team has a lot more perimeter firepower than most realize. Clippers come to mind because they have Kawhi, PG, and Lou Will, and Shamit. But I've said the Celtics have the most versatile depth on the perimeter probably in the NBA. And I'm talking about guys that like face up and play constantly multiple positions. You can play Tatum at 2, 3, or 4. Same with Jaylen Brown. You can play Smart at 1, 2, sometimes 3. You can play Gordon Hayward at 2, 3. You could play Kemba at 1, 2. They really have. You can play Jaylen Brown at 2, 3, or 4.
So, Jaylen.
So for me, is I feel like they're one big physical body away to go alongside Cantor to truly upset the apple cart in the East.
Here's the thing. If you dunk on LeBron James and he jumped to try to block the shot, you should be allowed to stare at him. I don't care. The refs gave him the worst tech. That was the worst tech. He dunked on LeBron James. Yeah, he's going to look at him. He didn't say anything. He didn't gesture toward him. You can't give him that tech. Like, that's just, that's too, they're taking this thing too far. Way too far. Jaylen Brown should be allowed to do that. That made me upset on behalf of all the Jaylens.
Well, another thing that made me upset that took place yesterday is Bronny was taking out the basketball and the fan took the liberty to try to throw something at him. Now, I'm not going to act like that happens because he's LeBron James' son, because over decades of being around sports, as a player and as a participant and as a fan, I've seen crazier things obviously happen, in particular to myself. But that was rude. That was disrespectful. It was irresponsible. But I want young people in particular to take that as a life trait. Oh, and this, we're going to call this the game podcast, the G-A-M-E. I'm just spitting all game. Spitting game. Turn this podcast up.
From
download this on Spotify. If you want to turn, yes, yes.
From game to Dame, because Dame Lillard had 61 points yesterday. 61 points in an overtime win against the Warriors. The Trailblazers still in trouble, though. It seems like
I
want to
hit the brakes. Hold on, I want to hit the brakes. This ain't a TV show. So there were two thoughts that I was trying to embark on my handsome co-host that we got away from. We can't ignore what happened with Bronny. And based on that, young people have to learn to deal with people that don't like them. And it's okay. Just because you're a public figure, you're a celebrity, whatever you do for a living, there are people that you feel like are rooting for you that really aren't. And it's okay. And so he'll continue to grow into the fact that people are going to dislike him for whatever reason. He'll continue to mature and be judged by the content of his character, not necessarily only by being a basketball player. And that was the first thought. The second thought is that's why LeBron got dunked on, because he was on the airplane the day of the game going to check out his son. He didn't have to bounce. Jaylen Brown's coming down the lane, Jacobs, and LeBron wanted to get up. His mind was telling him he was going to get up and contest it.
Body.
One of the most athletic players to ever play the game. But that body wasn't ready for that in his 17th year, turning 35. He wasn't ready for that. Correct, Reg. He was not ready for that. And Jaylen Brown, Jaylen Brown, A, dunked on him. B, as I agree with you, definitely shouldn't have got a tech. That was a weak call by the ref.
Not a tech.
And I want to also, as we talk about LeBron and the Celtics, get into something that was disturbing yesterday. A former member of the Boston Celtics who played with LeBron in Cleveland, there was a disturbing image of Delonte West circulating on the internet. And it hit home for me in a lot of ways, because so many times you want the success and you want the fame and you want the glory. We never sometimes acknowledge that there are horror stories that come with it as well. And that viral video was really unfortunate for me to see one of my former NBA brethren seem to be just down and out in life. And I always talk about the score of the game and the game of life. And there's no statistic, no accolade, no achievement that doesn't pain me when I see an image like that of anyone, especially somebody that I played against and somebody that followed his career. And so I just want to use this opportunity as a call to action. I talk so many times about people will bring flowers to your funeral, but no soup when you're sick. Shout to Oskino and State Property. For those that know Delonte West, former teammates, coaches that he's had, this is that time. And unfortunately, it took seeing that video for this call to action to take place. But I'm hoping, based on that imagery, that there are those people that are looking to do that for him, because that was really painful to watch.
From watching that video, he clearly has some mental health problems, and hope that he gets the help that he needs as soon as possible. And, of course, we always need to do better to take care of former NBA players as they deal with those issues off the court, because you only play in the NBA for so long and you still have the rest of your life to deal with. There needs to be better programs and structures set up for them to get the help they need, especially someone in such dire state as Delonte clearly is from this video. And this isn't the first video of Delonte that we've seen that has been reason for concern, and hopefully this one is serious enough that they'll find some change in his life. And back to the on-court action, Dame Lillard had 61 points yesterday, Jalen Rose. But the Trailblazers still needed overtime to beat the Warriors. I'm concerned about this Trailblazers team. It always seems like they find their way into the top four in the Western Conference Finals at the end of the year. I don't see it happening this year, Jalen Rose. What do you think?
It's been the gift and the curse, because you make it to the Western Conference Finals last season, but the last 3 years, they've also been swept out of the playoffs regardless of the round that they made it to. So it's hard to acknowledge what you're hoping to build on, yet one word derailed their start: injuries. Nurkic, Collins, Rodney Hood. This is what opened up the opportunity for them to even add Carmelo Anthony. CJ wasn't playing last night. Dame did go off against his hometown team. I, like you, have some concerns that if they don't get healthy, they can find themselves squeaking for the seventh or eighth seed and or out of the playoffs, because that's just how tough the West has and continues to be. So games like last night, they needed all 61. Like, they were down three.
Yeah.
In a one possession game late in regulation, and he knocked down a three.
Tough shot.
They needed all of those points. Each and every one. Even late when the Warriors missed a jump shot, he grabbed a rebound. Had to go to the line and ice the game with those two free throws. So if they're healthy, they're definitely a playoff team. If they're not healthy, it would be unique to see a Dame Lillard team not in the playoffs, because ever since he's been in the league, he's found a way to lead his team to that, to the postseason. So we'll just have to see how that plays out as the season progresses.
If I was going to gamble on it, I would say that they will end up in the eighth seed. They've got the right now, currently, and again, we're miles away from the finish line. They've got the Grizzlies and the Spurs ahead of them, the Suns close behind them, and the Pelicans, you know, in the conversation. So that eighth seed is up for grabs. I just hope that whoever gets the eighth seed's got an over 500 record, which I also think will come to fruition. But there's one team that solidified themselves and put a little gap between themselves and the eighth seed. That is the Oklahoma City Thunder, who went into Houston and beat the Rockets. Jalen, your man James Harden went 1-for-17 from three. 1-for-17 from three. The idea that he only made one, but still took the 14th, 15th, 16th, and 17th three-point attempt just is a good example of the ideology that they play with in Houston. But Jalen, if you're 1-for-13, how do you even shoot 14, 15, 16, and 17?
James Harden, and I say this with admiration for his ability as a player, because I've called him the most unique offensive weapon that the game has seen. He's the only player, the only O-N-L-Y. You're getting game on this podcast. Get out your pen and paper. At some point of his career, that's going to lead the league in these statistical categories. And it's not just one. It's five of them. Total points. Total assists. Free throws made. Three-pointers made. And the fifth one, turnovers. The only person at some point of his career that's going to lead the league in those categories is James Harden. With that being said, the 1-for-17 games highlight for those who don't like the Houston Rockets style and James Harden's style. Because to answer your question, how you get from 13 to 17, gunning, jacking, or old school terms, ball hogging is what that's called. When you're the best player on the team, there's a fiduciary responsibility to get the best shot you can get. Because there's 14 other pros that are sacrificing because they know that you're the best player. But when you're missing shots, that doesn't mean take more shots. That's gotten celebrated over the last decade or so. It should be the opposite. Yes. When you're missing shots, do something else and or pass the ball, dog.
For real. I mean, that's how right? I always looked at it. It's like, if you're not making shots, here's what you can do. Get some rebounds, make some plays for some other people, you know, play some defense, try to contribute in other ways, and hope, because you have Russell Westbrook out here, he had a 30-point triple-double, and that should be enough. And what they did in this game, because I watched this one, they got ahead by too many, and then they started coasting the fourth quarter. They said, oh, this is the Thunder. They slept on the Thunder. They were up by 16 in the fourth quarter. And then, you know, they called a timeout. They tried to regroup. And just never really happened. Then before you know it, Chris Paul and the Thunder got a great win. They've now won 11 of 15 road games after losing their first six road games. They've got their 12th win this season when trailing entering the fourth quarter. I'm watching the Thunder team. And they're still the same roster they were at the beginning of the season. They're just playing better than I expected them to.
So a few things. I'm fortunate enough to have multiple tattoos in my passport. Feel free to steal that one. And traveling abroad, I realized that when you order a glass of wine, they don't give you 33% or 50% in your glass. They give you a full glass. In the United States, they do that just so you'll buy more. That's a marketing and a sales trick. The reason why I bring that up is, you know who had a double glass of wine last night? Sam Presti. Because on paper, when you trade Russell Westbrook after he signed, and you trade Paul George while he's under contract, you're going to have a lot of people questioning that decision. Just comes Absolutely. With the territory. They were in the playoffs last year. Dame Lillard shot them down and broke their hearts. But now, I'm watching the Clippers play. Paul George missing some games due to injury.
Yep.
I'm watching the Rockets play, and they can't win when Russ have a 30-point triple-double. And Sam Presti had his double glass of wine thinking, I got four first round picks for the Clippers? From the Clippers for Paul George?
And Danilo Gallinari, who's contributing, and Shea Gilgeous-Alexander, who's blossoming. You know, it looks good. It looks good.
I made Houston mortgage their current situation and added Chris Paul, who's more efficient than Russell Westbrook anyway, and wants to be put on a contending team, so he's still going to give me the leadership and buy the team suits and show up in the fourth quarter and give us toughness and help us win games. Why SGA can learn from him, and Schrader can play with him, and Adams can still give effort. I just had to take this opportunity to shout out Mr. Presti.
Absolutely.
Shout out to the Oklahoma City Thunder.
He's had to remix that roster many times over the course of his career, and he's made a lot of trades that people scratch their heads at, but you know, you always see Oklahoma City in a position to succeed, in a position to be in the playoffs, and at the beginning of this year, you gotta remember, cause we've been doing this a long time, so we don't forget the things that we say, which is gonna transition us to the next topic, but we all thought, oh, well, they're obviously going to trade Chris Paul. Maybe Chris Paul goes to the Heat. They're obviously tanking. They're rebuilding. This is going to be a reset year for the Oklahoma City Thunder. But you know what? This is not a reset year for the Oklahoma City Thunder. They are very secure in their playoff positioning right now.
Well, no. Hit the brakes, Reg. Hit the brakes. No. No. That is not fully accurate because they will look to trade Chris Paul and Steven Adams. It's just that it makes no sense to do it in training camp or at the beginning of the year or before December 15th when all deals are can be included in trades. You might as well let those guys play their value up, allow the young guys to learn from them. Those guys are veterans and professionals in the locker room. And then you get closer to the deadline and see what happens. It's going to be tougher to move Paul based on the years still left on this deal. So they may have to wait to the offseason. But trust me, that phone is and that glass of wine is close by Stan Presti. And if they get if somebody come calling like the Miami Heat or something like that, they want to unload some deals, they'll do it.
Jalen, something happened. We didn't have a show yesterday, right? And there was some, we're gonna talk about the football on Sunday. And we're gonna start with the Chiefs game. But something, you know, I don't like to cover the coverage. You know me. You know, sometimes you want to cover the coverage. And I don't want to talk about how the media reacts to some things. I feel like we got our own show and our own voice. We don't cover media. We cover sports. Okay. Jalen, yesterday, all across every network and every show, we're celebrating Patrick Mahomes and talking about him like, he should be the MVP. Like, we didn't talk about Lamar Jackson changing the game for the last 3 months. It's like all of a sudden, because Lamar Jackson wasn't playing, now Patrick Mahomes is the MVP. Now Patrick Mahomes is the MVP of all sports. Now Patrick Mahomes is who you want to start a franchise around. Now Patrick Mahomes is a future Hall of Famer. But I'm not going to sit here and act like Patrick Mahomes had a better year than Lamar Jackson. I'm not going to sit here and act like Lamar Jackson was not the better quarterback this year. Patrick Mahomes is a special talent. Patrick Mahomes had a great game on Sunday. Lamar Jackson lost to the same Titans that Patrick Mahomes beat. But let's not forget, just because he didn't play this week, that Lamar Jackson was far and away the best quarterback in the NFL this year.
No doubt. And it just highlights the sensationalism that sometimes can exist in multimedia, and fans have it too. We sometimes become prisoners of the moment, and I agree with you. Patrick Mahomes has been amazing, bringing his team back against the Titans, bringing his team back against the Texans, but he didn't win the NFL MVP this year.
No.
Now, by the way, this is from Jalen and Jacoby. And for those who follow this program, we didn't just join the Patrick Mahomes bandwagon.
Where are my homies?
I'll never forget. We had just started doing Get Up. That's when the show was 3 hours. And I was in every segment for 3 hours. The show was able to transition since it fought through turbulence and it's flying nice at 35,000 feet for the next 35 years. So I'm proud to have my jersey hanging up. And one of the topics was somebody did NFL quarterbacks. I forget what writer it was for Sports Illustrated, or I forget the publication, so I don't want to say the wrong one. And they were ranking the quarterbacks in the NFL going into last season, they had Patrick Mahomes 26. I almost had a heart attack. I had on some hard bottoms, so I didn't really get on the table, but I was going, like, I literally pretended to stand on the table. I couldn't believe it. I was like, yo. And from that moment, I was like, that's one of our guys. We talked about it on the show. Most of you young viewers don't know who Ill and Al Scratch is.
No.
But when we say, where are my homies?
Where they at? Where they at?
Where are my homies? Creeping through the hood. That was their record. And all Patrick went on to do is win MVP last year. That's it. Mm-hmm. He just won MVP last year. That's all he did. And this year he dealt with some injuries. And it would have been a closer contest. But let's not act like Lamar didn't just lap the field and win MVP this year.
Yeah, not even close. It wasn't even close.
Let's not act like that didn't happen. It wasn't even close.
It wasn't even close. He's breaking Peyton Manning passing records. He's breaking Michael Vick running records. And we're going to sit here and act like all because he didn't play 1 week, we're going to sit here and act like Lamar Jackson is the second best quarterback in the league this year. Let's not do that. Recency bias is a real thing and we all fall victim to it. But let's not do that. Cause I was watching TV yesterday being like, man, I wish we had a show today. And you know, I don't like to talk about what other people are talking about. That's like a personal thing with me. It's like, I don't cover the coverage. I cover the sports. But I had to bring that up today. And one thing I want to say, and we're not going to preview the Super Bowl right here in this pod because there's going to be plenty of time to do that. But I do want to give a shout to the Kansas City Chiefs defense because Derrick Henry was on a historic run through his last three games. He had over 180 yards. Those two games in the playoffs. No one's ever done that before. Two straight 180 yard games. And then they were talking about how they were going to tackle him and how they weren't scared of tackling him. And they didn't tackle him alone, but they gang tackled him over and over and over again. There was three red shirts all over him and they bottled him up, kept him under 100 yards, which is something that seemed impossible going into the game. We gotta go rapid fire. We got too much to get through. All right. So we need rapid fire on these ones real quick. Jalen. What do you think about the music your guy Mozart was playing on Sunday? Obviously, we know his name is Mozart, but Jalen's been calling him Mozart all season long. I mean, 220 yards after being cut by six teams. Looks at the dates that he's been cut by six teams every single time before he takes the field. What do you think about the wonderful music from Mozart? As Reggie puts on the classic.
That's my guy. That's my guy. And the perseverance of a player and also the discipline of a scheme. If you play for seven teams, you virtually played in every scheme and seen everything the game has to offer.
Yep.
So for Shanahan to now use him to his strength to the point where Coleman, when he goes out of the lineup, like he did with a shoulder injury, and you put in my guy Mozart, he's playing sweet music, over 200 music. Yards, four
orchestrating.
TDs. Garoppolo only had to pass eight times. It was like a game in the 1950s.
It really was.
Quarterback only passed eight times. It's like a high school game 30 years ago.
He getting paid too much money to only pass him eight times. I'm like, how much is that a pass? It's like $10,000 a pass.
Trust him at least throw a screen.
Yes, man. Something.
But he almost threw he almost threw that interception. They was like, nah, we're good.
We're good. Yeah, we're good. We're good.
You
we're
ain't good. Losing this one, dog.
Don't worry, Jimmy G. Jimmy G.
We got you, dog.
Why is Revis barking at Richard Sherman after a big win? Like, come on, Darrell Revis. Come on, Darrell Revis. You ain't in the game anymore, man. What are you trying to do? What are you doing now?
He clearly is a huge fan of this show. Because he derailed the entire conversation NFC Championship.
Darrell Revis trying to make us talk about him. So we're going to move on. Jalen Rose has some very important topics. We need to get to a lot of them, so I need you to go fast on these ones. Are you ready for the rapid-fire finish?
I'm going to reach out to Darrell and get him on the show. Let's get it.
All right. Tom Brady said that he's open to the free agency process. Do you think he'll play in L.A.? Do you think he'll play in Vegas? Do you think he'll play in Miami? Do you think he'll play in Foxborough? Where do you think he's going to end up?
So the dirty thing about business is sometimes it becomes personal. And if you're Tom Brady, you feel like you've brought so many amazing things to the table over the past two decades, but yet you haven't heard your head coach Bill Belichick speak into a microphone publicly and say, that they wanted, he wanted you back as his quarterback. So now you have to behave like most free agents do and keep your options open. To me, he'll be 43 next season. I don't believe my fellow Michigan Wolverine will win another Super Bowl as a starting quarterback. It's just a young man's game. It's hard to win a Super Bowl though. That's my answer.
It's hard to win a Super Bowl. You know what I mean? He's won a bunch of them.
Yeah.
It's hard to win one, but just because he doesn't win a Super Bowl doesn't mean that he can't go to the LA Chargers and have a great season and go to the playoffs and lose in the second round. It doesn't mean that he can't go to Vegas and lose in the first round. Like I think that, you know what? You're falling victim to what you always complain about. You are now a Super Bowl or bust, a championship or it wasn't a success. That's what you sound like right now. Oh, I don't think he'll win another Super Bowl. You know what? There's 30 teams. You can't always win a Super Bowl. Doesn't mean you can't be successful. Doesn't mean you can't have a satisfying season. Doesn't mean you can't make bonds with new teammates and bring your family to a new city. That doesn't mean that you can't enjoy yourself. Doesn't mean it's not worthwhile just because you don't win a Super Bowl. Jalen Rose, you have become, it's a shame what you become. You've become what you hate the most, Jalen Rose. You've turned into your own worst enemy. You've turned into the Super Bowl or bust guy.
David Jacoby, how do I like to gauge success?
Well, we like to gauge success. I'm going to say both of us because we came up with this together based on realistic expectations.
Okay.
Yeah.
Realistic expectations. With Tom Brady at 43 years old, aches and pains and tendonitis, runs out on the field next year, what's going to be his personal expectation?
Depends what team he plays for, to be honest with you. It's a team game. I mean, football's a team game more than anything else. His goal is going to be
You're
a win a Super Bowl.
Truthful.
I think his goal is going to be a win a Super Bowl, but based on the people around his expectations might not be Super Bowl.
Thank you. Didn't you just name me teams that you felt like, oh, they got weapons here and wide receiver there? So that means his expectation, not mine, his expectation is going to be if he leaves to join a squad that can help him win a 7th Super Bowl. Coming up short of that goal to him will be a failure. I don't want to see a guy after 20 years take failures in his own mind. He's achieved way too much. I want to see him as a Patriot or as retired player.
I would say we're definitely going to see him as something else besides those two options. I'm almost positive we're going to see him on the Chargers or something. Because Philip Rivers said, I'm out. I'm permanently moving to Florida. I don't care what y'all want. I don't care if y'all want me back or whatever. I'm gone. There's a vacancy there. A couple other vacancies around the league. So we will see about that. Jalen Rose, we have to move on. I want to give a big shout to Chandler Parsons. He was involved in a horrific car accident, suffered some very serious injuries that jeopardized his career. And I also want to point out that the person was on the other end of that car accident was charged with driving while under the influence. And I just want to say, if you ever, ever, ever consider it, you ever think about it, whatever you do, do not get behind the wheel of a vehicle, even if you've only had a couple, because that is the sort of tragedy that can happen. Big shout out to Chandler Parsons. Jalen Rose, we haven't covered a couple things. Conor McGregor had a big fight Saturday night. Big fight Saturday night. Everyone got their adult beverages ready, sat down, wanted to see a big fight between him and Cowboy Cerrone. And then, you know, he gave him the shoulder. He gave him three shoulders in a row, which basically three shoulders and a head kick, and it was done in 40 seconds. Jalen, we've seen that fight. It was so short. We've all seen it. But the question is, who should he fight next? They're talking Khabib. They're talking Masvidal. They're talking Mayweather. I don't know if he's ready for any of those fights. I'd like to see him get another win under his belt before he takes on one of those three opponents. But if Conor McGregor called your phone, what would you tell him besides stay off of Twitter?
Well, Floyd has called my phone, and I'm going to just say this into a microphone. I believe he's going to fight again. For Conor McGregor, and Dana White has come out and talked about him potentially fighting Khabib, I want to see him fight Masvidal, friend of the show. I also tweeted it after the contest, and Masvidal agreed. Because both of these guys I've seen do amazing, heroic things in the octagon really fast. Like, Cowboy is a seasoned veteran. Mm-hmm. Connor just demolished him. Like, that wasn't...
shoulder lean.
Yeah, that wasn't like some guy that was just doing this for 1 or 2 years. Like, yo, nobody has participated in more events than Cowboy.
Connor hit him with the Harlem Shake. He hit him with the Harlem Shake real quick early on in the fight. had him done.
and a crazy kick to the head. So he showed no rust in his layoff. Mm-hmm. But the flamboyance between he and Masvidal, and that bout will be oozing with pre-fight altercations, which may, and I'm predicting, they'll have some sort of physical altercation leading up to their fight. Both of those guys are just, they're on edge at what they do, and they embrace the violence that come with their job. Masvidal, stylish, both of them about their fashion and their flair, had a robe on, smoking jacket at the fight the other day. Versace, killing him. And we know if he wins, he gonna take us out and hang with him in Miami. So right, that's what I want to see.
Jay, we got a few more things. We're running out of time. We got a few more things we got to get to. Number one, for all the single men and women around the world, today's a day to celebrate because we just learned something very important. Rihanna's back on the market, Jalen Rose. After 3 years of dating some billionaire, Rihanna is back on the market. What would be your advice for someone who wanted to shoot their shot at Rihanna?
I would say go a different route. What I mean is, it's too 2020 to feel like, oh, you about to shoot your shot on IG or shoot your shot on Twitter or slide in the DMs. Like, that, she'll see that coming. And by the way, she got so many followers, she'll probably never see the message anyway.
She will not see it. Yeah, she will not see it.
What I recommend, and you don't have to be a celebrity to do this or a public figure to do this, find a way to be where you know she's going to be.
I love it.
That's what you do. Celebrities have schedules. Find out what she's hosting. Find out where she's getting an award. Find out where she's doing a concert or a show. Having a guest appearance. See her in person. Approach her like an adult. And then get shot down.
Jalen, I know you've seen this on Twitter. And it's a shame that we just have a podcast today. But there's in Texas, they put up a statue of Tupac. It looks nothing like Tupac. You've seen it. I know you've seen it on Twitter before, Jay, because people have been sending it to us. As the senior statue analyst of not just ESPN, but of the world, I mean, how do we write this wrong? And for us to find out about this on Martin Luther King Day, it's just absurd.
First off, rest in peace to the late, great Dr. Martin Luther King. As somebody that was born in the early 70s, I've seen the landscape of our country change based on his sacrifices and those who believed in his voice and in his word. And a country that's continuing to overcome slavery and Jim Crow laws and segregation, and seeing our country morph from one where colored people were drinking out of less than satisfactory fountains and using second class accommodations like the lavatory or not allowed to eat in certain restaurants. I'm forever grateful for his contributions. And I would encourage people to do what I did yesterday. It's a holiday. Take 5 or 10 minutes of your day. Pull up a couple of YouTube clips of a few of Dr. King's amazing speeches. He was a terrific orator and a great leader. And he obviously deserves a national holiday in his honor. And my favorite MLK quote is, faith is taking the first step without seeing the entire staircase. So rest in peace to the late, great Dr. Martin Luther King. Now, back to being a senior statue expert. The reason why I was disappointed is somebody that met Tupac back in the day as a member of Digital Underground and being in and around Money B and Klee and Shock G when they came up with one of my favorite Tupac featured songs, What's Up With The Love. The first thing I thought when I saw that statue was great that somebody took the time, the energy to honor the all-time legend. But I had a name for that statue, Jacoby.
What's that?
You want to know what it was?
Yes, I do, sir.
One Pac. One Pac.
Like half a Pac.
That's
quarter Pac.
Jay, do you know who Gwyneth Paltrow is?
I do. The actress.
She's an actress. She also is like a sort of like a lifestyle guru, and she is selling candles. And one of the candles she said is scented like her vagina. Are you interested in buying a Gwyneth Paltrow vagina scented candle?
I can't say that I don't appreciate the scent of a vagina. I will say that I'm not necessarily enthusiastic about what hers may smell like. I don't know why she would think that the consumer would be enthusiastic about
it's a microcosm of where her life is at, the idea that she thinks other people want their living quarters to smell like that part of her body. But moving on before we get fired, Jalen, one quick question for you. Well, there's a myth from Jalen Jacoby about Durag Jalen, and Durag Jalen only made an appearance once on the program, but today, since it's audio only, you did the entire show with the do-rag underneath the backwards cap. I want to know what your thinking is behind this. I know you're not on TV today. How long will you wear the do-rag? Going to wear the do-rag for 72 hours straight before you're on countdown? What's your do-rag strategy today?
So here's the do-rag strategy. If you follow my multimedia opportunities, and I'm so very fortunate to work for this fine network and ABC and the Disney Corporation, and to work with you and Greeny and Laura and Maria and Jay Will and Paul and RJ and so many people that I can't name. The people that work on our show, the people that work behind the scenes, whether it's camera people, makeup people, all of that. One thing that if you want to work in this industry, if you want to book people in this industry, if you want to produce in this industry, the number one thing that gets underrated is that men need grooming as well. Before you go on national television to talk about sports and entertainment. So, since I'm not physically doing television Sunday, Monday, or Tuesday, because last week I had 2-a-days Monday through Friday, and I had a double header Friday and I worked Saturday. So being off Sunday and Monday, not doing television, and Tuesday, this is the first 3 days that I haven't done television in a really long time on any of the shows I participate on. So I'm wolfing it. Skin breaking out. Like I said, Mars, there's Jupiter, there's Venus, and then there's whatever's happening on my right cheek. Like it's in the satellite. So I need a couple of days to doctor it. And I'm doing the same thing with my hair. No cuts.
Oh,
you
yeah.
You know what I mean? And I got to say one thing to the waivers out there, because I am not one. Shout to Reg DeLedge, who got me into this world. He brought me lotion. He brought me do-rags. He brought me brushes. He was like, dog, you in your 40s, you got a hairline, you got your hair, dog, you need to be having some waves on that thing. It reminded me of the moment when, in Paid in Full, Cameron told his guy that he need to put a medallion around his little brother's neck. It reminded me of that moment. So shout to Reg DeLedge. So what I'm doing now, Jacoby, is figuring out something. All waivers know this. And I'm a, I'm, if, 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 if we're talking about waivers and we're giving out grades, my grade for myself is a D minus.
No, that's you're my like personal grade for you know me. What? You come from Detroit, which is on a lake. Like you're like those waves. Like the waves on a lake. That's what you're like. You know, you're like one of those. You're a baby wave. I've seen the real waves. I've seen a Point Break. I've seen the North Shore. I've seen those waves out there. You a lake wave on a windy day.
And what I would say that I'm doing, and again, shout to all waivers, shout to all groomers. Here's the most important thing. You talk about the products. People talk about wearing a durag. People talk about all of the amazing things they're doing. But just like playing basketball, got a brush.
Can't durag and brush at the same time. It doesn't work. There you go.
And what I realized about myself is I think putting on a durag is a substitution for brushing, and it ain't. It ain't. Ain't no substitution for brush. So I'm wolfing it, and I'm stepping my brush game up.
All right.
So get ready on Wednesday. Get up.
We're gonna get to a voicemail in 1 second. We always get the people that they want, but we have some people that came in today. I know Reggie's there. I know Demetrius there. I know Ray is there. I haven't heard from anybody else in the staff, but everybody else in the staff that is there. Big shout to you guys. We really appreciate you guys coming in. Just like our audience appreciates us coming in. They love to appreciate what you do behind the scenes. But Ray, our director for the day, add a very important question. Some tells me, I've never met Ray, that he probably looks more like me than he does like you based on this question alone. He asked, what does a durag do?
Oh my goodness. Ray, oh Ray, oh Ray. Oh, this is definitely cultural. First off. Next, the other thing that I realized was cultural is wearing multiple gold chains. That's also culture.
Jalen.
So here's what a durag does, Ray. It lays your hair down. And or it holds it. Usually it's reserved for people that have long hair and they're styling it. Some of the styles are braids, for example.
Mm-hmm.
Waves, for example. Some people have curly hair like a Russell Wilson. I'm pretty sure he puts something on his head at night, whether it's a durag or a handkerchief or whatever you call it. And so that's the purpose pretty much. And another purpose that it serves, when you put products in your hair, it doesn't now get them all over things that you come across. You remember how Jerry Curl juice get all everywhere?
Oh, yeah, we've seen
it. And what did people start doing? Wearing bags on their Jerry Curl. Kind of the same thing. It doesn't allow the products that you may have in your hair to get on furniture and on your bed and things like that, Ray.
Appreciate you, Ray. We also appreciate the people. If you call 985-80-JALEN, you can leave us a voicemail. We're going to take a bunch of voicemails. We're going to do a pod on Thursday as well. We'll take a bunch of voicemails then. Right now, we got time for one. Reggie, hit us with the voicemail for today.
Jalen Jacoby, what's up? So I got a question for you. Is letting your dog lick your face cultural or regional? Because my girl, she'd be letting, you know, our dog literally make out with her face, and I'm like, I'm not really about that. So let me know, guys. See you.
Letting your dog lick your face, is that cultural or regional? I've never been one of those. I think it's gross. You know what I mean? When I had a dog, I've seen what that dog puts its mouth on, and there's nothing that dog won't put its mouth on. Nothing in the world. And then for it to come and lick my face, like, those aren't little pop kisses either. Like, my little twins will give me a little pop kiss. That's slobber free. But that dogs go hard, man. Dogs go hard. They go like 13-year-olds, like, in behind the school during the dance. Like, they go hard. I'm not gonna give that cultural. I'm gonna say it's just dog people stuff. That's what I'm saying. Cause I had a dog, but that doesn't make me a dog person. I'm not letting a dog make out with me or lick my face.
I have the perfect answer for this one. It's regional. And I'm gonna tell you what region allows this. Suburbs.
Oh, okay.
That's where this takes place. In the suburbs.
Okay.
I remember growing up in the Midwest, and I'm not saying that I'm proud of this. I love dogs. I've had multiple dogs. And as I started to travel, I realized I didn't want to keep putting my dog in the kennel. And also, when you train your dog, it becomes frustrating when you travel, almost like having a kid in a lot of ways. The things that you teach them, they lose that teaching when you go out of town. And it's almost like
leaving, it's like leaving your kids with the grandparents.
Starting over.
Like, yeah, leave your kids with grandparents. Yeah. Next, you know, they're watching four movies and staying up till midnight and eating ice cream for breakfast and stuff like that. And you've been training them for 4 years not to do that. And then in 2 weeks, it all gets undone.
But the reason why I said regional and called it suburban, because I'm going to talk about something urban real quick. And that's growing up in the Midwest. How cold does it get in the winter in the Midwest and on the East Coast, Jacoby?
Very cold. Very cold. Brick.
It gets brick, right? Sometimes even below zero. It could be blizzards. It could be snow. It could be all weather terrain, correct?
Yep.
I am old enough to remember and to recall when people on the East Coast in the Midwest, it could be December, January, or it could be June, July. Those dogs stayed outside. Those dogs stayed outside. And now I look back and realize that that's cruelty. Also, you know the other thing that changed? And this is why I needed to wait before I got another dog. I remember the years when you didn't have to pick up after your dog. You could walk your dog, let it drop a load, and keep it moving. Like, I ain't trying to walk around with a warm bag of dog poop. I'm good. I'm good.
Appreciate the call. We got time for one more voicemail. So remember, we got a show on Thursday, so we need lots of voicemails for Thursday. So right now, while you're listening to this, hit us up, 985-80-JALEN, leave us a voicemail. We got time for one more. What do you got?
Jalen and Jacoby, this is Chris and Shannon from Charlotte, North Carolina. And we got a cultural or regional question. I'll let my fiance take it from here.
Hey, Jalen. Hey, Jacoby. This is Shannon. We were talking with some of our friends, and, you know, quick question, cultural or regional, perms and relaxers? Please discuss and let us know your thoughts.
Oh, see, I love this question.
We need to get their math and send us some his and hers hoodies.
I love this question. Because growing up, I had white friends and black friends. And when my white friends got a perm, it made their hair curly. And when my black friends got a perm, it made their hair straight.
Straight.
And I was always wondering how this could possibly be. I did not understand it. I'm not a hairstylist. I don't know the science behind perms. But at first I was like, oh, a perm will make your hair curly. And then I found out, oh no, a perm will make your hair straight. So I think they're neither cultural or regional. It's just the effect is very different for each one. And relaxers are definitely cultural.
I'm a man of strong faith. I'm a man of strong faith, and I want to go biblical here for a second. This call and that question is why certain people, when they read the good book and they see that the Almighty had hair of wool, tend to believe he looked more like me than you. So, perms and how does that affect perms and relaxers? Because if you have hair like wool, you definitely need a perm. It's gonna take more than a relaxer to lay that thing down. Period. There are people that have looked like me, and I've tried to do it, and it was one of my favorite things of all time. You know, one of my favorite hairdos ever. And it's not even close. What all of the cool cats was doing when I was growing up, rocking afros.
Okay.
Don't ever get it twisted. Jared Allen, I might just hug him when I see him again. I love that he's keeping it alive. I wish I could grow a fro like that. Or I wish I could have mine laid down like Iceberg Slim. Only thing that's going to make that happen is the perm. So with that being said, it's definitely cultural.
Definitely cultural. I want to thank Chris and Shannon. We always appreciate when couples call. I want to thank my man with the cultural regional dog question. And I want to alert everybody, we're coming in on another one of our day offs. The staff is. We are. We appreciate the staff very much for doing so. And you should too, as listeners and supporters of this podcast. We'll be back on Thursday. Make sure you call 985-80-JALEN and leave us voicemails. We're going to be back Thursday. Why is that, Jalen Rose?
We're not done. We're not done. We're not done.